We are reading from Canto 11, Chapter 5, Verses 32 to 42. And we start with a very famous verse. Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishnam Sangha Pangasta Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumerasha. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Mukam karoti vachalam mangalam hayate dinyakipam mamande shivru nanatarnam Om gyana timirandasya gyanam shara sharataya chakshunaritam yena tasmai shivru. So in the purport, before we start, let us review. What do you remember from morning class? Yes.
One good quality of people in Dwapara Yuga is Jigyasava.
Jigyasava. People of Dwapara Yuga have Jigyasava. They're inquisitive to know the absolute truth. Dedicated to the Vedas. They're also, they want to know the absolute truth. Think. Okay. Anything else? Yes.
The killers of the soul are never peaceful.
Killers of the soul are never peaceful, only distress. They may even be followers, so-called followers of the Vedas, but if they don't worship Krishna, only distress will come. Okay? Yes.
Money is for moksha,
not for dharma.
Okay.
Dharma is for moksha. Good. Dharma is for moksha. Anything else? Yes. Varnashram is for gradual purification of those who are inimical to the Lord. They can be purified and come to pure devotional service. Okay. Yes. Taking candy and throwing your medicine.
Peaceful.
Four qualities of the people of in Kali Yuga. Hopeless. Yes. Mm-hmm. When there is enviousness in the, when envious contaminates the Varnashram, then the lower classes are put down. Mm-hmm. That's why first they had the verse about they deserve mercy. The lower classes deserve mercy. And then it says if the higher classes get too proud, then everything is lost.
Yeah, it's a very I couldn't help being the mentality.
Right, the mentality is there. So this is why these verses are here, so you can quote these verses and you can say, oh, what will happen? You can quote these verses. Yes, we have to give the proper understanding. So now Lord Chaitanya has appeared, so we are very fortunate. Maybe we should turn this off. Maybe Parvati is allergic to this. Yeah. Okay. So in the purport, they quote a purport of Prabhupada who comments on this verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila chapter 3, verse 32 as well. And Srila Prabhupada explains, let's see, in the second paragraph, Sri Jiva Goswami, Prabhupada quotes Jiva Goswami, Krishna Varnam means Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Krishna Varnam and Krishna Chaitanya are equivalent. The name Krishna appears with both Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme personality of Godhead, but he always engages in describing Krishna and does enjoying transcendental bliss by chanting and remembering his name and form. So Krishna Varna means like what order do you belong to or what order of society. So Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya both belong to the Swayam Bhagavan order or varna of society. They both belong to the same varna here. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. Swayam Bhagavan. So that's why a meaning of Krishna Varnam. Yes, they are. Prabhupada, I have heard Prabhupada say this meaning somewhere, and that's why I'm saying that. They both belong to the same Varna. They're both of the Swayam original personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. So they're equivalent. Krishna Varna, Lord Chaitanya. And another meaning of Varna is here, Varnayati, means utters or describes. Lord Chaitanya always chants the holy name of Krishna and describes it also. So that's another meaning of Varna. So Varna means to describe, so he's always chanting Krishna. Krishna Varna, he's always describing Krishna. Krishna Varna. Whoever meets, because he's Krishna himself, whoever meets him will automatically chant holy name of Krishna and later describe it to others. He injects one with transcendental Krishna consciousness, which merges the chanter in transcendental bliss. In all respects, therefore, he appears before everyone as Krishna, either by personality or by sound. Simply by seeing Lord Chaitanya, when once remembers Lord Krishna, one may therefore accept him as Vishnu Tattva. In other words, Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna himself. So that's the first line. Sangopanga Saparshadam further indicates Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna. His body is decorated with ornaments of sandalwood and sandalwood paste. By his super excellent beauty, he subdues all the people of this age. So his weapon, we were reading the deity worship in a previous verse, you should meditate on his weapons like Sudarshan. And so Lord Chaitanya, he has a different weapon. And here it says his weapon is his beauty. His beauty is his weapon. What a wonderful weapon to be knocked over by the beauty of Lord Chaitanya, to be subdued. In other descents, the Lord sometimes used weapons to defeat the demoniac, but in this age, the Lord subdues them with his all-attractive figures, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Jiva Goswami explains his beauty is his astra, or weapon, to subdue the demons. So what a wonderful incarnation of the Lord. You're defeated by his beauty. And nobody will complain. Because he's all attractive, it is to be understood all the demigods lived with him as his companions. His acts were uncommon and his associates wonderful. When he propagated the Sankirtan movement, he attracted many great scholars and acharyas, especially in Bengal and Orissa. Lord Chaitanya is always accompanied by his best associates like Lord Nityananda, Advaita Gadadhar, and Shiva. So they are also his angas or his weapons. Nitai and Advaita Gadadhar, they are also his weapons. And his Sangha, his associates. Sri Jiva Goswami cites a verse from Vedic literature. It says, there's no necessity to performing sacrificial demonstrations or ceremonial functions. He comments, instead of engaging in such external pompous exhibition, all people, regardless of caste, color, or creed, can assemble together and chant Hare Krishna to worship Lord Chaitanya. Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishna indicates that prominence should be given to the name Krishna. Lord Chaitanya taught Krishna consciousness and chanted the name of Krishna. Therefore, to worship Lord Chaitanya, everyone should together chant Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. To propagate worship in churches, temples, or mosques is not possible because people have lost interest in that. But anywhere and everywhere, people can chant Hare Krishna. Thus, worshipping Lord Chaitanya, they can perform the highest activity and fulfill the highest religious purpose of satisfying the Supreme Lord. And now kirtan is going on in many churches. I mean, these kirtan performers are coming and performing in the churches of America and charging huge fees as well. Of course, these ones from Varshana, they are not charging any money. I was in the room with this, we saw this person from Varshana and his little gopi girls. And he was talking to Maharaj. He said it in one place in America, they had 16,000 people come to hear the kirtan. So wherever I was traveling, there was another kirtan person also going, and he was like in the churches, and these middle-aged people were going and paying huge amounts to hear the kirtan. They don't know that it's us, Hare Krishna. They think it's like a concert or something, you know, they're going. But in Washington, they're really doing very nice interreligious, interfaith. When I was there, the one house I was staying at, this lady, she was doing kirtan for the Jewish ladies. They would call her and have in the synagogue, and she was doing kirtan with them, Hare Krishna kirtan, and the Muslim ladies were calling her, and she was going to the mosque and doing Hare Krishna kirtan for the Muslim ladies. So it's quite, I mean, here Prabhupada says it's not possible, but actually now it's becoming possible to have kirtan everywhere. It's like a popular thing to do. It's part of yoga, yeah?
It's interesting that as we are discussing Lord Chaitanya,
the kirtan is going. Yeah, well, they're having arti, yeah? Right. Vibhu Chaitanya, his name is also Chaitanya. Yeah, so the kirtan is going on. Shri Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, a famous disciple of Lord Chaitanya, said, "The principle of transcendental devotional service having been lost, Sri Krishna Chaitanya has appeared to deliver again the process of devotion. He's so kind. He's distributing love of Krishna. Everyone should be attracted more and more to his lotus feet, as humming bees are attracted to a lotus flower." So in the last paragraph, quotes from Mahabharata, Suvarna Varna He Mango Varangas Chandanangadi. In his early pastime, he appears as a householder with golden complexion, his limbs are beautiful, and his body is smeared with a pulp of sandalwood, seems like molten gold. And Sannyasa Kritshama Shanto Nishta Shanti Parayana. Later pastimes, he accepts a sannyas order, and he's equipoised and peaceful. He is the highest abode of peace and devotion, for he silences the impersonalist non-devotees. So this verse is also quoted in a lecture Prabhupada gave in Vrindavan in 1976. And he called this Sango Pangasta Parshadam his soldiers, Nityananda, Advaita, and Upangas, parts of the part. They were his astras. And he said there's another astra, another weapon, is Sankirtan. That is his weapon in this age of Kali. This is 7947 lecture of Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan, 1976. So Prabhupada said, it's not like a sword, but it's killing the demons in a different way. The demoniac habits are being killed. He says, these people, they're already dead. He says, but now our demoniac activities are being killed by the Hare Krishna movement. So he says, these people, they're so already dead, so no need to kill them. They're completely dead bodies already. So we just have to wake them up, and that's by chanting Hare Krishna. That's waken them to life. Otherwise, Prabhupada said, they're already a dead. What's the use of beating a dead horse? No use. So people are already dead in this Kali Yuga, so therefore we chant Hare Krishna. So there is a verse in Adilila 340. Kali Yuga Yuga Dharma Namera Prachar Tata Tatilagi Pittavarna Chaitanya Vatar. The religious practice for the age of Kali is to broadcast the glories of the holy name. Only for this purpose has the Lord in a yellow color descended as Lord Chaitanya. Kaliyuga viprarupe dhari pitavarna puchavare veda gopya sankirtana dharma. You appear in Kaliyuga as a Brahmin with a golden complexion to inaugurate congregational chanting of the holy names, which is unknown through the Vedas. Now, an interesting in this purport of Chaitanya Bhagavat, this is Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is said, the Lord propagated religious principles of all four yugas and acted as a spiritual master or acharya. The Lord also revealed in Satya Yuga one should remain brahmachari, in Treta Yuga one should remain grihastha, in Dwapara Yuga one should remain vanaprast, and in Kali Yuga one should remain a sannyasi. So I guess he took these different orders in the different ages. This is Chaitanya Bhagavat purport. Adi 2.167. Yeah, it's a purport of Chaitanya. Yeah. Yeah, well, it's what he took in Kali Yuga, he took sannyas. In Dwapara Yuga, well, he wasn't vanaprast, Krishna, was he? Anyway, that's what it says here. One should be vanaprast in Dwapara Yuga. Treta Yuga, grihast. In Satya Yuga, he did come as brahmachari. So then there is a verse from 4th canto, 30th chapter, verse 36. Yatta narayana saksha bhagavan nyasinam gati sanstuyate sat katasu mukta sangai punapana. Supreme Lord Narayan is present among devotees who are engaged in hearing and chanting the holy name. He is the ultimate goal of sannyasis, and Narayan is worshipped through the Sankirtan movement by those who are liberated from material contamination. So interesting. Sankirtan is mentioned in the fourth canto. Probably forgot about that in the 30th chapter. It's already mentioned. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, whenever there is congregational chanting of the Lord, Gaur Narayan, Lord Chaitanya immediately appears and is worshipped by Sankirtan Yagya. So if we do Sankirtan Harinam, Lord Chaitanya appears and he's being worshipped. Because we're worshipping him, so he appears. And then he says, in the 7th canto purport of 14th chapter, verse 7, if we take to this Krishna conscious movement and chant Hare Krishna, there will be no scarcity of rainfall. Then we'll have food, fruits and flowers, and all necessities of life will be easily obtained. So therefore, an intelligent person should try to spread Krishna consciousness by chanting holy name. That happened in Hyderabad. When Prabhupada came, there was a drought for so many years. And then when they started doing Harinam Sankirtan, then the rain came. And it was in the papers that, yes, rain bring the Hare Krishna chanting brings rain. And then it was here in Vrindavan. I was here a few years ago. There was also, the monsoon was very late. It didn't come until, it was like August and still hadn't come. And so then the Gurukula boys went out and did Harinam. It started raining. My little Gurukula kids. So it was very nice. And they were doing all kind of yagyas and so many things to try to get the rain to come. They were doing big sacrifices. Remember that year? So then, there's a very confidential meaning of this verse given in Adi Lila 381 by Srila Prabhupada. The verse he quotes, I take shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is outwardly of a fair complexion, but inwardly Krishna himself. In this age of Kali, he displays his expansions, angas and upangas, by performing congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Prabhupada says, Anta Krishna refers to one who is always thinking of Krishna. This attitude is a predominant feature of Srimati Radharani. Even though many devotees always think of Krishna, none can surpass the gopis among whom Radharani is the leader in thinking of Krishna. Radharani's Krishna consciousness surpasses that of all other devotees. Lord Chaitanya accepted the position of Radharani to understand Krishna. Therefore, he was always thinking of Krishna in the same way as Radharani. By thinking of Lord Krishna, he always overlapped Krishna. You know what that means. Lord Chaitanya, who is outwardly very fair with a complexion like molten gold, simultaneously manifested his eternal associates, opulences, expansions, and incarnations. He preached the process of chanting Hare Krishna, and those who are under his lotus feet are glorious. So, Anta Krishna, Tvisha Krishnam, it's another meaning that he's always has the mood of Srimati Radharani. Okay, so the next verse we'll also sing. It's a very nice verse. Verse 33. Antiyam misada paribhava kanama pishtadoham tiyatas padam shiva varinchinutam sharanyam prityartiham panatapalabhavati potam Vande Maha Purushate Charanarvindam. My dear Lord, you are the Mahapurusha, Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I worship your lotus feet, which are the only eternal object of meditation. Those feet destroy the embarrassing conditions of material life and freely award the greatest desire of the soul, attainment of pure love of Godhead. My dear Lord, your lotus feet are the shelter of all holy places and of all saintly authorities in the line of devotional service and are honored by powerful demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. My Lord, you are so kind, you willingly protect all those who simply bow down to you with respect. Thus you mercifully relieve all the distress of your servants. In conclusion, my Lord, your lotus feet are actually the suitable boat for crossing over the ocean of birth and death. And therefore, even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva seek shelter at your lotus feet. So, in the paragraph 2, again, always to be meditated upon, indicate the holy name. If we meditate on Lord Chaitanya, his lotus feet, that means we have to meditate on the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And there the mantra is mentioned, And he stated, Nama Nama Kari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti Secharpita Nyamita Smarane Nakala. In Kali Yuga, the Supreme Lord has kindly invested all his potencies in his holy name, and there are no hard and fast rules for chanting such names. So Kali Yuga is so wonderful in one respect, we don't have to worry about all the rules, regulations. If you chant Gayatri, then you're supposed to be clean, but chanting holy name, Harinam, you can chant any time, anywhere. Chant the holy name, any place. Go to paragraph 7. The words Prityartiham Pranatapala indicate, if one simply bows down without duplicity at the lotus feet of the Lord, Pranata, the Lord will give such a sincere candidate all protection. This verse does not mention one need be an exalted devotee of the Lord. Rather, it is stated if one simply bows down at the Lord's lotus feet, he will get all protection. This also applies to anyone who is trying to serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even the neophyte will get all protection by the mercy of the Lord. So in the Varnashram, if you just make one little mistake, like King Riga did, then you have to become a lizard. But here, all we have to do is just bow down to Lord Chaitanya Nitai and beg their mercy and chant Hare Krishna. And we'll get all protection. In the next paragraph, in regard to the words Bhavde Potam, a suitable boat for crossing the ocean of material existence, there is the following statement by Lord Brahman of the demigods in Bhagavatam. Tatparapotena mahatkritena kravanti govatsaparam bhavdim. By accepting your lotus feet as the boat by which to cross the ocean of nations, one follows in the footsteps of the Mahajans and can cross that ocean as easily as one steps over the hoofprint of a calf. According to Sri Rupa Goswami, a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Jivan Mukta, or liberated soul. Thus the devotee is not worried about his future destination, for he is confident the Lord will quickly take him across the ocean of material existence. Such confidence is referred to in Upadeshamrita by the word Nishchayat, meaning firm conviction about the potency of the process of devotional service. According to Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, the statement Shiva Virinchi Nutam is also understood to indicate that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is worshipped by Lord Shiva's incarnation, Advaita Acharya, by Lord Brahma's incarnation, Haridas Thakur. So these three verses from Bhagavatam are mentioning Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. So there is the prediction here, but they're not giving his name. They're not mentioning him by name, but they're describing. They're describing him. That Krishna Varana Tvishta Krishna. So then the additional notes at the M, Dhyayam, object indicated by the word Dhimahi in Gayatri Mantra. So when we chant our Gayatri, it is actually Lord Chaitanya we're meditating upon. Ramananda Roy also said that you are the super soul. Tirthasparam, original shelter of holy places headed by Sri Gaurakshatra and Brajamandala, our original shelter, namely lotus feet of the Lord, of the great devotees of Brahma Sampradaya, following succession of faithful hearing. Succession of faithful hearing begins Srimad Ananda Tirtha Madhvacharya and is continued by the Rupanuga Mahabhagavats, the highly elevated followers of Rupa Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then, Shiva Virinchi Nutam, we already mentioned, he's worshipped by Advaita and Haridas. Prityartiham, he who destroyed by his causeless mercy the misery of his own servant, Brahmana Vasudeva, who was afflicted with leprosy in Chaitanya Lila. Bhavadi Potam, means of crossing over the ocean of samsara, or the shelter of those who are freeing themselves from material existence, which afflicts living entity in the form of hankering for liberation or material enjoyment. Such persons who took advantage of this transcendental boat of the Lord's lotus feet are Sarbhauma Bhattacharya, who was saved from Mukti Kama, or desire for liberation, and Pratapurudra Maharaj, who was saved from Bhukti Kama, or desire for material opulence. And Vishwanath says, devotee is not even aware when he has crossed the ocean of material life. That is the meaning of this statement. So, isn't that interesting? You might be already across and you don't even know it. Hare Krishna. Betiye. Oh, Prabhupada. Okay. Prabhupada. Yes.
Krishna.
Haribol. Haribol. So we are having darshan here of a very exalted Vrijbhasi. Next verse, verse 34. This is a very wonderful verse which explains in one verse the activities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the activities of Lord Krishna and the activities of Lord Ram, Sadbuch. And according to how you understand the Sanskrit, it can refer to any of these three. Haribol, Haribol. So we'll sing verse 34. Chakta sajista jam sarepshita raja lakshmim tarmishta arya vachasa yadagad aranyam maya migam daita epsita anvatava vande maha purushate charanar indam. O Mahapurusha, I worship your lotus feet. You gave up the association of the goddess of fortune and all her opulence, which is most difficult to renounce and is hankered after by even the great demigods. Being the most faithful follower of the path of religion, you thus left for the forest in obedience to a brahmana's curse. Out of sheer mercifulness, you chased after the fallen conditioned souls who are always in pursuit of the false enjoyment of illusion, at the same time engaged in searching out your own desired object, Lord Shyamasundara. So Lord Chaitanya is chasing after the conditioned souls, because in age of Kali, nobody wants to. They're not like the other ages, religious, desiring, jigyasava. Nobody even wants to ask the question of about spiritual life. So in the purport, according to the Vaishnava Acharyas, this important verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is understood to describe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, also Lord Sri Ramchandra. This verse appears within the discussion by the sage Karbhajan of the Yuga Avatars, or different incarnations of the personality of Godhead to deliver the conditioned souls of each age. The prayers ending with the words Vande Maha Purushate Charanarvindam are understood to glorify the incarnation of Lord Krishna in Kali Yuga, known as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, now I'm not going to tell you where in the purport I am, because I won't know. I didn't actually. But I took out the different Sanskrit meanings for the different personalities. And perhaps you have it there in short on your flip chart. You can follow here on the flip chart. It's in a concise form. And I'll read a little bit more elaborately here where it's described in the purport. So Lord Chaitanya, the word Sarepsita, married the goddess of fortune. That is Sarepsita, desired even by the... So Raja Lakshmi, he married the... Actually two Lakshmis, two goddesses of fortune. And then Aryavachasa, that is... Tarmishta, he was a great philosopher Brahmin, so he's certainly Tarmishta. And Aryavachasa, by the words of the Aryan, the Brahmana, he was cursed, and this story is told by Prabhupada in a purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Oh yes, where is it? That Lord Chaitanya, I can't find it, but he was worshipping, oh yeah, here he was. He was serving the Brahmanas who were engaged in bathing in the Ganga. This is described in a lecture of 566, Vrindavan 76. He would clean the place where they would sit down and chant, and he'd wash their clothes. And so one Brahmana blessed him, "My dear boy, you'll be very happy in your family life. You'll have a good wife, very opulent position." Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is blocking his ears. And the Brahmana said, "What is this?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "No, this is not blessing, sir." And the Brahmana said, "Oh, it's not blessing? Then you'll never be happy in your family life." So then he said, Lord Chaitanya said, "This is all right." So therefore he took sannyas. This is a lecture Prabhupada gave, 5th canto, 6th chapter, verse 6 in Vrindavan 76. And it was a lecture that Prabhupada described that how he got cursed by a brahmana when he was a brahmana. He served the brahmana, and the brahmana first gave him blessing, and Lord Chaitanya didn't accept the blessing, so he cursed him. And this is the Aryavachsa. Aryavachsa. Okay, so then next we have, so then Yadagat Aranyam. Because of this, he took sannyas. He went to the forest and went traveling through the different forests of India on the way to Vrindavan. And Mayamrigam is us, the conditioned living entity, always frantically searching for the latest up-to-minute sense gratification in the material bodily concept of society, friendship, and love. So that's the Mayamrigam. And we'll hear a little bit more meanings of that after. Anvadhavat indicates Lord Chaitanya was always visibly going here and there, searching after the fallen conditioned souls. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes embrace the conditioned souls on the pretext of religious friendship or ecstasy. But actually, the Lord was touching the bodies of the conditioned souls to pull them out of the ocean of material existence and hurl them into the ocean of ecstatic love of Godhead. So Lord Chaitanya was just going and like just fishing. He was pulling them out of the ocean and throwing them into the... Says Lord Chaitanya was the most merciful and munificent incarnation of the Lord, whose mercy surpassed the bounds of mundane discrimination in the matter of caste, color, and creed. So then Dayitaya can be explained. Daya means mercy. So by grammatical derivation, the word used in this verse, Dayitaya, indicates because of being the most merciful, Lord Chaitanya was busily engaged in rescuing the fallen conditioned souls who are completely distracted and bewildered by the external illusory energy of the Lord. So now we go to Lord Krishna. Sarepshita Raja Lakshmim indicate Mathura Sampatim, or the opulence of Mathura. So he's born in Mathura, and that was an extremely opulent place. And he left that. Aryavachasa means the words, the order of his parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, that... So he went, Agad Aranyam, he went to the forest village of Vrindavan. Mayamrigam indicates the special exalted relationship between Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna. Haribo. Mayamrigam. Maya also indicates the internal potency of Krishna, Yoga Maya. The original form of Krishna's internal potency, Srimati Radharani. Due to the inconceivable love of Srimati Radharani, Lord Krishna becomes easily controlled by her. Thus, mrigam, or animal in this case, indicates krida mrigam, or a toy animal. Just as a beautiful young girl may play with so many dolls or stuffed animals, similarly, Lord Krishna becomes just like a doll in the hands of the most beautiful young girl, Srimati Radharani. Thus, due to Srimati Radharani's aradhana, or worship, Krishna can never leave Vrindavan. He runs here and there in Vrindavan, protecting the cows, playing with his friends, and engaging in countless intrigues of love with Srimati Radharani and the gopis. Thus the word anvadhavat indicates Krishna's boyish activities, his running throughout the transcendental land of Vrindavan tightly under the control of the love of Srimati Radharani. So this is for Krishna. Now Lord Ram, how this verse applies to Lord Ram. Aryavachasa means, by the order of his father, who is like his guru, Ramchandra, gave up everything and went to the forest. So Aryavachasa, and the Raja Lakshmi, that was the Ayodhya, the opulence. And there, he exhibited his great affection for Mother Sita and chased after Mayamrigam, the illusory deer that had been created by the trick of Ravana. So Mayamrigam, that this golden deer was especially desired by Srimati Sita Devi is indicated by the word Daita Apsitam, that she desired this deer. So there we have three incarnations in one verse. According to who you worship, you may see that personality in this verse. So at the end of the purport, it says, corroborating explanation of this verse, followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also worship him in his six-armed form of Sadbhuj. Two arms carry the water pot and danda of the sannyasi Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Two arms carry the flute of Lord Krishna. Two arms carry the bow and arrow of Sri Ramchandra. This Sadbhuj form is the actual purport of this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. So wonderful verse, very wonderful verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. So then in a purport of 6.10.8, Prabhupada talks how Lord Chaitanya had a very young, beautiful wife, very affectionate mother. So this was desired even by the demigods. But to deliver the fallen souls, He took sannyas, and the six Goswamis followed him, and Prabhupada says, similarly, everyone else with a materially comfortable condition in this world should join the Krishna conscious movement to elevate the fallen souls. And in that word, there was bhutadayaya mayamrigam dayita epsitam dina ganeshikau karunaya. I'll convey the same sense. These are very significant words for those interested in elevating human society to a proper understanding of life. One should join the Krishna conscious movement following the examples of such great personalities as Lord Chaitanya, six Goswamis, and before them the great sage Dadichi. So this is in the purport of about Dadichi giving up his body for the demigods. Instead of wasting one's life for temporary bodily comforts, one should always be prepared to give up one's life for better causes. After all, the body will be destroyed. Therefore, one should sacrifice it for the glory of distributing religious principles throughout the world. So, Mayam Rigam. So, in the one verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Seto Govinda Saksha Chaitanya Gosai Jiva Nistarite Aiche Doyalu Ornai. Govinda personally appears as Chaitanya Gosai. No other Lord is as merciful in delivering the conditioned souls. So, Prabhupada, in another lecture, he described this Mayam Rigam. Maya is like a deer. He says, are these, we are just trying to catch this deer. Or the deer is trying to get water in the desert. So we are like this deer who's looking for water in the desert. People in this material world. But the water keeps going ahead more and more like a mirage. And so people, they're looking for happiness, but it just keeps slipping out of their reach. And so this is another meaning of that Mayam Rigam. So then Prabhupada talks how he was the age of 24, very young, and his wife was 16. This is the age for sense gratification. At that age, he left. He was 24 and his wife was 16. He left everything. And Aryavachasa, according to the words, the curse of the Brahmin. And Ramachandra, he left everything just because he was supposed to be crowned the king the next day. And he just left on the day of his coronation. So he said, Prabhupada says, is there any example in history of the whole world a prince is going to be king tomorrow? And order of his father, he left everything. So this is Vairagya Vidya. So they all, Ramchandra, Lord Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya, Vairagya Vidya. So then, Srila Prabhupada had another lecture. Vrindavan Das Thakur talks about, well, he was quoting Vrindavan Das Thakur, how Lord Chaitanya, he left everything. He left his, and he said he didn't have children because he knew he was going to take sannyas, Prabhupada said. He said this in a lecture in 68. Devotees, I don't know what they'll understand. He was very happy at home. He had a good wife, but he had no children. So Vrindavan Das Thakur worshipped him, Saputraya Sakala Traya. I offer my obeisances unto you along with your sons. So Lord Chaitanya didn't have any sons. So Prabhupada said, Who are these sons? Prabhupada said, his sons means his devotees. So we are his sons. We are the sons of Lord Chaitanya. His devotees are his sons, because Lord Vrindavan Das Thakur is worshipping Lord Chaitanya along with his sons. So this is, all his devotees are his children, because he didn't have any children. So this was a lecture of, let's see, question and answer, Montreal 68. I don't have the date. So verse 35, thus, O King, the Supreme Lord Hari is the giver of all desirable benefits of life. Intelligent human beings worship the particular forms and names that the Lord manifests in different ages. So here in the purport, Yugana Rupa Abhyam is significant. Anarupa means suitable or appropriate. Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna anxiously desires that all conditioned living entities come back home, back to Godhead, for an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. Thus the Lord reveals himself in each of the four ages, Satya, Chaita, Dwapara, and Kali, in a form appropriate for worship of the human beings of that age. So then Sri Rupa Goswami states something, and we'll go down to a few sentences. Although in each age various names suitable for glorifying the Lord are given, such as Hamsa, Suparna, and Satyuga, Vishnu and Yoga and Treta Yuga, Vasudeva, Sankrishan, Dwapara Yuga, similar names are not given for Kali Yuga. Why? Although such names exist, in order to avoid disclosing cheaply the truth of the incarnation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in the purport he was saying that because it's so fallen in this age that if they know that the incarnation is Lord Chaitanya, everyone will say, I'm Lord Chaitanya. And they will fool, and people believe. Yes. He talks about that in the purport. And there is one present bogus person who says he's Lord Chaitanya. And he has ashram here everywhere. And anyway, I won't mention any names, but there are people still this day who say they're Lord Chaitanya. So, in the last paragraph, therefore, to prevent this pandemonium, discretion is exercised in the Vedic literatures in Kali Yuga. In a sober, concealed way, the actual followers of Vedic culture are informed through the Vedic mantras of the scent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This discreet system selected by the Lord himself for his appearance in Kali Yuga is proving to be greatly successful on the earth planet. Millions of people are chanting the holy name. So that in verse 36, a very wonderful verse, Kalim sabhajyant yarya gunagya sharabhagina yatta sankirtane naiva sarvasarta hilapite. Those who are actually advanced in knowledge are able to appreciate the essential value of this age of Kali. Such enlightened persons worship Kali Yuga, because in this fallen age, all perfection of life can be easily achieved by the performance of Sankirtan. So here again, Prabhupada says, Arya, defined by Srila Prabhupada, one who is advancing spiritually. Nature of an advanced person is to search for the essence of life. For example, the essence of the material body is not the body, but the spirit soul within the body. Therefore, an intelligent person gives more attention to the eternal spirit soul than to the temporary body. Similarly, although Kali Yuga is considered an ocean of contamination, there's an ocean of good fortune in Kali Yuga, namely the Sankirtan movement. In other words, all the degraded qualities of this age are completely counteracted by the process of chanting the holy names of Krishna. So there's another verse which will come up in 12th canto. Kaler doshani he raja nasti he kumahakuna kirtana if Krishna sya mukta banda param vajan. My dear king, did I quote this from 12th canto? No, I quote this from Madhya Lila 20. Mukta Sangha, I thought. My dear king, although Kali Yuga is full of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, one can become free material bondage and promoted to the spiritual kingdom. And then the other verse from 12th canto. Krityayadyayato vishyum chaitayam yajito makai japare paricharyayam kalotad harikirtana. Whatever result was obtained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, Treta Yuga by performing sacrifice, and in Dwapara Yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet can also be obtained in Kali Yuga simply by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So we know in the first canto that when Kali first appeared, Maharaj Parikshit did not kill him. And there is a verse in the 118 verse 7, said Maharaj Parikshit was a realist like the bees who only accept the essence of a flower. He knew perfectly well that in this age of Kali, auspicious things produce good effects immediately, whereas inauspicious acts must be actually performed to render effects. So he was never envious of the personality of Kali. So that means if you think of something bad, you don't get the reaction. If you think of something good, you'll get the reaction. That's the concession for the age of Kali. And then Prabhupada said that he protected his subjects from the sinful acts of Kali by making an organized effort to propagate chanting of the Lord's holy name. So even 5,000 years ago, Maharaj Parikshit had Sankirtan. He was chanting, he had the Sankirtan movement. Verse 37, indeed, there is no higher possible gain for embodied souls forced to wander throughout the material world than the Supreme Lord's Sankirtan movement, by which one can attain supreme peace and free oneself from the cycle of repeated birth and death. So we'll go down a little bit in the purport. According to Sridhar Swami, even in previous ages, such as Satya Yuga, it was not possible for the living entities to achieve the perfection that is available in Kali Yuga. So how fortunate we are. Sridhar Goswami has explained this as follows. In former ages, such as Satya Yuga, human beings were perfectly qualified and easily performed even the most difficult spiritual processes. Meditating for many thousands of years, practically without eating or sleeping, thus although in any age one who completely takes shelter of the Lord's holy name gets all perfection, the highly qualified inhabitants of Satya Yuga do not consider that merely moving the tongue and lips, chanting the Lord's holy name, is a complete process, and that the Lord's holy name is the only shelter within the universe. They're more attracted to the difficult and elaborate yoga system, meditation, complete with sophisticated sitting postures, painstaking control of the breath, and deep extended meditations and trance on the personality of Godhead within the heart. In Satya Yuga, sinful life is practically unheard of, and therefore people are not afflicted with the terrible reactions seen in Kali Yuga, like world war, famine, plague, drought, insanity, etc. Although in Satya Yuga people always worship the personality of Godhead as the ultimate goal of life and meticulously follow his laws called dharma, they do not feel themselves to be in a helpless condition. Thus they do not always experience intense love for the Lord. However, in Kali Yuga living conditions are so unbearable, modern governments are so obnoxious, our bodies are so ridden by physical and mental disease, and even self-preservation is so troublesome, the conditioned souls intensely cry out the holy name of Krishna, begging for relief from the onslaught of this age. And so this is, we are fortunate in this sense that we have this, we're in the age of Kali, and so we're helpless and hopeless, and our only solution is to chant the holy name. So in Jiva Goswami also mentions in his Bhakti Sandarbha that this verse shows that the performance of kirtan, by this performance one attains faith in the Lord far greater than the faith attained by meditation or any other spiritual practice. By kirtan, the cycle of repeated birth and death is brought to an end. By meditation performed in Satyuga, one does not attain the same deep faith in the Supreme Lord. Interesting. So then Jiva Goswami says, hearing that the people who live in Kali Yuga have great faith in the Supreme Lord, the great souls pray they may also take birth in Kali Yuga. Well, that's verse 38 and 39 and 40. My dear King, the inhabitants of Satya Yuga and other ages eagerly desire to take birth in this age of Kali, since in this age there will be many devotees of the Supreme Lord Narayan. These devotees will appear in various places, but will be especially numerous in South India. O Master of Men, in the age of Kali, those persons who drink the waters of the holy rivers of Javadadish, such as Tamraparni, Kritamala, Payasvini, extremely pious Kaveri, and Pratichi Mahanadi, will almost all be pure-hearted devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. So we have here one of our pure devotees, Vanamali Prabhu, who is born in Javadadish. Just arrived in time. Which river do you live nearby? Kaveri?
I'm born near
Kritamala. Kritamala, okay. You're born near Kritamala. In Kaveri, very good. So here we have a living example.
This is protection of Alvars.
Alvars, yeah, I know. That I will come, yes. I'll also bring that up. He's right. He's saying this predicts the Alvars incarnations who are going to come. Great devotees. Yes. So the purport, beginning, the Vedas contain information of past, present, and future living conditions throughout the universe. This is not very wonderful. For example, although at present time in India we are experiencing spring weather, we know that in the future the torrid summer will come, followed by the rainy season, autumn, and eventually winter and a new spring. Similarly, we know that these seasons have occurred repeatedly in the past. Thus, just as ordinary human beings can understand the past, present, and future seasons of the earth, liberated followers of Vedic culture can easily understand past, present, and future conditions of the seasonal ages of the earth and other planets. Inhabitants of Satya Yuga are certainly aware of the conditions of Kali Yuga. They know in Kali Yuga the difficult material situation forces a living entity to take complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that the inhabitants of Kali Yuga therefore develop a high degree of love of Godhead. Therefore, although the inhabitants of Satyuga are far more sinless, truthful, and self-controlled than the people of other ages, they desire to take birth in Kali Yuga in order to taste pure love of Krishna. So we'll skip some paragraphs, and I'll read some of these quotes. The third quote on page 74. Kalo krita yugam tasya kalistasya krite yuge yasya chetasika govinda hridaye yasya nachita. For one who has Lord Govinda in his heart, Satya Yuga becomes manifest in the midst of Kali. And conversely, even Satya Yuga becomes Kali Yuga for one who does not have the infallible Lord in his heart. So today's theme is the Lord in the heart. It seems to be. Although I didn't plan on it. The Lord in the heart is appearing in this class now. So this is wonderful. The holy name of Krishna is potent everywhere at all times in all circumstances. Therefore, one should always chant the holy names of the Lord, either in Kali Yuga, Satya Yuga, heaven, hell, or Vaikuntha. Krishna's holy name is eternally non-different from him, and Krishna is eternally the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, it is not that the holy name is powerful in this age only because other processes are not effective. So then we'll skip the next quote and go to the Vaishnava Chintamani. Agachit smaranam Vishnor bhav ayasena sadyate ostaspandanamatena kirtanam tutatovanam. Although capable of destroying all sins, the remembrance of Lord Vishnu is achieved only with extraordinary effort. On the other hand, one may perform Krishna Kirtan simply by moving one's lips, and thus this process is superior. Then I skip another two quotes and go to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Enechi ashati maya nashi baralagi hari namaha mantra lautumi magi. O conditioned souls, foolishly sleeping in the lap of the witch Maya, I have brought an excellent medicine to cure the disease of your illusion. The medicine is called Harinam. It is my holy name, and by taking this medicine, you'll get all perfection in life. Therefore, I sincerely request you to please take this medicine that I have personally brought for you. So this verse is quoted in one BTG article, and there it mentions the Awars. It's prediction of the coming of the Awars. This is the Sri Sampradaya. They are not ordinary jivas, but they are incarnations of the Parshadas, or the paraphernalia of Krishna, the chakra, the shankha, the gada. All of these paraphernalia, they are the 12 Alwars who incarnated in South India. So another point from Jiva Goswami. He talks about the next verse. A person who has faith in devotional service does not fall down from his position as a Vaishnava if because of wickedness or another reason, or for no reason at all, he does not perform the duties described in the Dharma Shastras. This is described in the following words of Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 31, famous verse. Devar shivutap taninam pitrinam nakim karanayam rini charajan Sarvatmanaya sharanam sharanyam gato mukundam parihritya kartam. O King, one who has given up all material duties and has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, who offers shelter to all, is not indebted to the demigods, great sages, ordinary living beings, relatives, friends, mankind, or even one's forefathers who have passed away. Since all classes of living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, one who has surrendered to the Lord's service has no need to serve such persons separately. So this purport of 41, it describes one who has not fully surrendered to devotional service undoubtedly has many material duties to perform. Every ordinary conditioned soul is recipient of innumerable benefits given by the demigods who provide sun, the moon, rain, wind, food, ultimately one's own material body. Bhagavad Gita is stated, stena eva sa, one who does not reciprocate with the demigods by offering them sacrifice is stena, or a thief. Similarly, other living entities such as cows are providing us with innumerable delicious and nutritious food. When we wake up in the morning, our mind is refreshed by the sweet singing of birds. And on a hot day, we enjoy the cool shade and breeze of the forest trees. We are accepting service from innumerable living entities, and we are obligated to repay them. Apta means one's own family members, to whom one is certainly obligated according to normal morality. Nina means human society. Until one becomes a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is certainly a product of his society. We receive mundane education, culture, tradition, and protection from the society in which we live, and thus we owe a great debt to society. Of course, our debt to society is not simply to the present order, but to all our forefathers and ancestors who carefully preserved moral and social customs so that we, their descendants, could live peacefully. Therefore, the word Pitrinam, or forefathers, indicates our debt to previous generations. And we go to the last paragraph. People in general are only eager to receive benedictions from demigods, family members, and society because such benedictions are conducive to material sense gratification. Less intelligent persons consider such material progress to be the only goal of life and thus cannot appreciate the exalted position of pure devotional service to a Lord. Bhakti yoga, pure devotional service, is meant to directly please the senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then it goes on about how the materialists don't appreciate and the devotees do appreciate. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, this verse shows the bhakti is devoid of the troubles caused by daily and occasional duties like shraddha, rites, and tarpanas. Apta refers to those who give nourishment like mother and father. Devatas refers to the devatas of the five sacrifices. One involved in karma is a debtor and servant of devatas, sages, living beings, parents, and pitris. So in the fourth canto, 24th chapter, verse 38, Lord Shiva is praying to become free from these obligations. He says, my Lord, you are the provider of the Pritri Loka as well as the demigods, predominating deity of the moon, master of the three Vedas. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you because you are the original source of satisfaction for all living entities. So Lord Shiva is praying to Lord Aniruddha to give him strength so he can become free from obligations to all these pitas, demigods, and everything. But then Prabhupada quotes this verse, Devarshi Putapta Pitrim Ninam Pitrinam, that if you simply worship Krishna, then you can become free. So he says, Lord Shiva is praying to Lord Aniruddha to give him strength so he can become free from such obligation and entirely engage in the Lord's service. So this was in the sixth canto, fifth chapter 37. Daksha, it was his complaint to Narada Muni that you have made these children, my sons, take sannyas, but they have not paid their debts. They are obligated. They are not free from their three debts. They did not properly consider their obligations. And then he's very angry with Narada Muni. You have obstructed their progress toward good fortune in this world and the next, because they are still indebted to the saintly persons, demigods, and their father. So that was the argument of Daksha.
Which one?
Six. 5:37. So Prabhupada says, Prajapati Daksha argued, although the renounced order is recommended for liberation, one cannot attain liberation unless one fulfills his obligations to demigods, saints, and his father. Daksha, me. Since Daksha's sons had not liberated themselves from these three debts, how could Narada Muni have led them to the renounced order of life? Prabhupada says, apparently, Prajapati Daksha did not know the final decision of the Shastras. He didn't know this verse, in other words, from Srimad Bhagavatam. He hadn't studied Srimad Bhagavatam carefully, and he didn't, or perhaps he didn't want to remember. But Prabhupada said, apparently, he did not know this final decision of the Shastras, and then he quotes this verse. This is the final decision. Unfortunately, Prajapati Daksha, the father of Haryashvas and Shavalashvas, did not understand the great service rendered by Narada Muni. And then, so he cursed him, he addressed him as Papa Asadhu. And since Narada was a great saint in Vaishnava, he tolerated all such accusations and merely performed his duty as a Vaishnava by delivering all the sons of Daksha, enabling them to return back to home, back to Godhead. And then there's another verse where this verse is actually, before this verse is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said in Bengali. Kamatyaji Krishna Bhaje Shastra Agyamani Devarishi Pitra Adhikar Kabu Nahirini. If a person gives up all material desires and completely engages in transcendental loving service of Krishna, as enjoined in revealed scriptures, he is never indebted to demigod sages or forefathers. The Prabhupada says that yes, when we take birth, we're indebted, even to the cows from whom we take milk. But if we become devotees, then our debts are absolved. I know when I went to college, I had a debt of $1,000 to the college. And then I left and became a devotee, and my father paid that debt. And so, anyway, I didn't even think. I just left everything and became a devotee. And my father told me later, oh, I paid your debt, you know. I said, oh, thanks. Thank you for paying my debt. I just forgot everything, you know. Prabhupada somehow had that power, you know. You just forget everything and just follow him. Forget everything and follow him. So yeah, I completely forgot about it until, you know, I went 10 years later. I was 10 years in India, and I went back to visit my parents after 10 years. And he said, oh, by the way, you know, I paid your debt. So, oh, thanks. Anyway, yes. And so, but yes, they will appreciate now. He appreciates my path. And so definitely the ancestors will be benefited, the father, the mother, according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. If you're a neophyte devotee, then three generations before and after will get liberated. So, we'll go on to the next verse. So many quotes here, but... Okay. Well, I'll just read one more last quote. Prabhupada quotes one verse from Bhagavad Gita that corroborates with this verse. Can anybody tell me that verse? Very good. Mokshya shami mashish. I will free you from all your karma, and also means debts, Prabhupada says. I will free you from all your debts if you surrender to me. I will free you. Mokshya shami mashish. So, if you surrender, you'll be protected. Prabhupada said, by one installment, we become free from all obligation. Just sarva dharma pratitya, and we get free. Just surrender to Krishna. You give up everything and surrender. All your debts are finished. Krishna takes care of all your debts. So let's see what Jiva Goswami says. Yeah, I said that already. 41. Okay. Oh, this is interesting. About debts. The duties and prohibitions described in Vaishnava Shastras have the pleasure of Lord Vishnu as their only goal. Thus a person who is attracted, rukchi, to the Lord, who loves, raga, the Lord, will perform certain activities and refrain from other activities because the pleasure of the Lord is his only goal. Person following the path of ragatmika bhakti does not consider what should be done, what should not be done, from the point of view of ordinary considerations. He only accepts activities favorable for devotional service. So a devotee who is attracted, ruchi, to the Lord, and follows the path of raganuga bhakti will follow the scripture's description how to engage in devotional service. However, even the residents of Gokula, the raganuga bhaktas, who are personal associates of the Lord, perform Vaishnava duties and even ordinary worldly duties to bring auspiciousness to Krishna and to protect him from troubles and obstacles. So they were performing these sacrifices, the Brijabasis, to the five devatas. They were doing all the worship just to protect Krishna. This is Jiva Goswami Bhakti Sundarbha. I don't know the exact Anuchet. But then he talks about, again, he quotes also Sarvadharma Pratitya. From beginning of devotional service, one should renounce fruitive work. That is the meaning of the prefix pari used here with the very word tyaj. Pari, sarvadharma pratitya, means from the beginning of your devotional service, you should renounce fruitive work. So last verse, a very wonderful verse which gives us hope. Swapadamulam bhajata priyasya jaktanya bhavasya hari paresha vikarmayachat patitam katanchi tunoti sarvam virisan nirishta. One who has thus given up all other engagements and has taken full shelter at the lotus feet of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very dear to the Lord. Indeed, if such a surrendered soul accidentally commits some sinful activity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated within everyone's heart, immediately takes away the reaction to such sins. So we heard about the Vikarmi. That's verse 42, which I just read. We heard about the Vikarma and what happens to those persons, mrityum, death after death. But here also the word Vikarma is mentioned. Somebody is doing Vikarma here, but who is doing Vikarma? It's the devotee. He doesn't get mrityum. He doesn't get that. It says the Lord may do something by accident, but the Lord in his heart immediately takes away the reaction. And so we'll go to the purport. We'll go to the second to last paragraph. The argument may be raised that Smriti Shastra states, Shuti Smriti Mamai Vage. Vedic scriptures are direct orders of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, one may ask, how can the Lord tolerate that his orders be occasionally neglected even by his devotees? To answer this possible objection, the word priyasya is used in this verse. Devotees of the Lord are very dear to the Lord. Although the beloved child may accidentally commit an abominable activity, the loving father forgives the child, taking into consideration the actual good intentions of the child. Thus, although the devotee of the Lord does not try to exploit the Lord's mercy by requesting the Lord to free him from any future suffering, the Lord, by his own initiative, frees the devotee from the reactions to accidental fall downs. This causeless mercy of the Lord upon his devotee is his paramaishwaryam, or supreme opulence. Gradually, the faithful devotee becomes free even from accidental fall down, because simply by remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, what to speak of by actively rendering service to him, his heart is purified. Although the surrendered devotees of the personality of Godhead may sometimes appear to be affected by mundane attitudes, they are inevitably protected by the merciful Lord and are never actually defeated in life. So we'll hear a verse later on in Uddhava Gita. Although harassed by material desires, the devotee is not defeated by sense gratification. A very nice verse. So this was, Prabhupada talks about Maharaj Pariksit and how he committed, you know, a so-called abominable activity of putting the snake, dead snake, around the sage's neck. Something unheard of in the Vedic culture that a king would do this. As Prabhupada says in the purport of 119.7, the conditions of the material world are so made, one has to commit sins willingly or unwillingly, forced. And the best example is Maharaj Pariksit himself, who is a recognized, sinless, pious king. But he also became a victim of an offense, even though he was ever unwilling to commit such an offense or mistake. So then Prabhupada says, the principle is one should not willingly commit any sin in his life and should constantly remember the lotus feet of the Lord without deviation. Only in such a mood will the Lord help the devotee make regular progress toward the path of liberation and thus attain the lotus feet of the Lord. Again, in a purport of Bhagavatam, 3.12.34, where Brahma was going after his daughter, it says, as a fire can consume anything and everything without being contaminated, so by the grace of the Lord, the fire of Brahma's greatness consumed his desire for sinful act of sex with his daughter. So this was another example. 3.12.34.
What was the one before that?
119, verse 7. First canto, 19th chapter, verse 7. And then there's Madhya, Leela, 22.143. Agyaneva hoi jadi papo pashtita Krishna tare shuta korena korai prayaschita. If, however, a devotee accidentally becomes involved in sinful activity, Krishna purifies him. He does not have to undergo the regulative form of atonement. So how does he purify within his Chetaguru? This is what Prabhupada says. And then, Jnana Vairagyadi Bhakti Kava Nahi Anga Ahimsayam Niyamadi Bule Krishna Bhakti Sangha. Path of speculative knowledge and renunciation is not essential for devotional service. Indeed, good qualities such as nonviolence, control of the mind and senses automatically accompany a devotee of Lord Krishna. So this is Prabhupada also in another purport. He says that the Lord in the heart, Ishupanishad 18, can give direction to a sincere devotee by which they can attain the right path. Such directions are especially offered to the devotee, even if he desires something else. We might even have another desire, but Krishna will give us the right direction. No, this is what you should do. As far as others are concerned, God gives sanction only to the doer, only at the risk of the doer. But in the case of a devotee, the Lord directs him in such a way he never acts wrongly. So this is vikarma, even he might do some vikarma. And Prabhupada says, the devotee prays to the Lord to rectify him from within his heart. That's Ishapanishad 18th verse. Please rectify me. To err is human. Conditioned soul commits mistakes. And the only remedial measure to take against such unintentional sins is to give oneself up to the lotus feet of the Lord so he may guide one to avoid such pitfalls.
What?
Ishapanishad verse 18. For that is Madhya 22, 143 and 145. Yeah. Okay. So that is the end of our verses for today and all our quotes. And do you have any questions or comments on these verses? Be convinced to take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. It's the best thing. Best worship. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes. Oh, so what's the question? Yes. Sadbuja. Worship. Who is worshipping Sadbuja? There's a temple here in Vrindavan. In
Navadvipa.
Jagannath Das Babaji is worshipping. His deity is in near Radha Raman. Sadbuja. Take a right out of Radha Raman, 10 meters, you will see Sadbuj temple. Jagannath Das Babaji and Nabadweep also.
Mayapur.
Okay, there's a Sadbuj in Mayapur also. Sarva Bhattacharya, because he saw that form, I believe. He saw the form of Sadbuj. Sarvam Bhattacharya, yes?
Also, this Pishanera Gurmitai and the faces of Gurmitai.
Okay, the Gurmitai worshipped here in Vrindavan at Bankari Mahadev.
Opposite
Bankari Mahadev, they have the feet of Krishna Balaram,
hands of Ram Lakshman,
and faces of Gurmitai. Right. So, this lady, Pishimera, she was worshipping all three. Gurmitai. Who is Didis?
Murari
Gupta's. Oh, okay. Yes, because he's Hanuman, right? So, yes, because Murari Gupta is Hanuman, then he would worship Sadbuj form. Because he's seeing Lord Chaitanya, but he's a devotee of Lord Ram. So, therefore, he's worshipping Sadbuj. Any other questions or comments? Yes. If we're not Bali Maharaj, how do we completely surrender to the Lord? Well, Bali Maharaj rejected his guru, but you should listen to your guru. Whatever your guru tells you, then you can. That way, you can surrender, because your guru is in our parampara. So we follow the parampara from Lord Brahma, and our guru tells us how to surrender to Krishna. So then you can know how to surrender. 6 processes of surrender. Give up everything unfavorable, accept everything favorable. Lord is your master, guardian, protector. You depend on him, and humility. And is that all of them? Did I forget some? Yes. In Jagannath Puri, he was in Radha's mood, and in Navadvipa, he was in Krishna's mood. Yeah, he was because he had to do the yuga dharma. He was the yuga avatar. He was also yuga avatar. Besides being in Radharani's mood, he was the yuga avatar. So that's why it says he was chasing that verse. You read that verse, I can't say it. Anyway, he was not only chasing the conditioned souls, but he was searching after Shama Sundar. So there's two meanings to that one line of that verse. That not only was he, of course, in the mood of Radharani, he was also chasing the conditioned souls to take them out of the ocean as Yuga Avatar. So he had two purposes. One was, and he revealed himself in Navadvipa that I am Krishna. In Puri also, to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he revealed Ramananda Roy, he revealed himself, but he was in the mood of Radharani. After he came back from his travels in South India, he was also Yuga Avatar. But then when he came back, then he was in the latter part of his life, he was in the mood of Radharani. Yeah, we don't like to see him as sannyas. Devotees like to see him with long, beautiful hair and opulently dressed, nicely dressed. We like to see him in that mood. We don't like to see him lying on the hard floor and eating very little. We like to see him and happy and eating nice prasadam and very nicely dressed. Devotees don't like to see the Lord in an austere condition. We don't like to see him. Yes?
The last two verses of the Navayugendra's teachings, and they can be very...
Oh, the last two verses.
These two,
okay.
Debts
cleared and faults cleared. Oh, that's interesting.
And they can be very happily misused.
Oh.
So, what are they...
How can they be happily misused? Yeah. That's why we have the 10 offenses to the holy name. How to prevent the misuse of everything. Well, it says before all of these, Tasma Gurum Prapadita Jigyasu Shreya Uto, that you have to take shelter of the spiritual master. Yeah, and you have to follow everything under his direction. You worship Krishna. It says you worship Krishna under the direction of the spiritual master. So this worship also, Lord Chaitanya, we have to do it not whimsically, but under the direction. Yeah. First spiritual master. First guru. Yeah. First you take your guru, okay, then you do deity worship, and you worship Lord Chaitanya. That's part of the worship. We're learning how to worship Lord Chaitanya. Yeah, it's Guru Gauranga. Very good. Guru Gauranga worship. So we have to, that is the, yeah, if you don't have guru, then you see what happens. If you don't have the proper guru and parampara, then see what people are doing. So many of these upasampradayas. And that's what happens. And Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta was the real guru, and he came, and he fought against all these upasampradayas. Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta. So they actually defeated all of these imitations, these cheap imitations. Gauranga Nagari. Oh, he's saying, don't give the mercy to these people. Yeah, the Bhattacharyas and these people who are proud. Give it to the women and the Shudras. And yeah, that was a Dvaita. Yeah, so what is the question? Oh, yeah, okay. Well, there's a verse I remember just came to my mind in Chaitanya Charitamrita that there was a net that Lord Chaitanya, he made a net, or he flooded the world with the ocean of love of God, but a few of them escaped. A few of them escaped this net, or escaped the ocean, and they were the impersonalists. But he even gave to the impersonalists. So few people escaped. So it's described that if you escaped, then you're very unfortunate. And Yamaraj is there for you. He tried, that's why he took sannyas, because people were disrespecting him. So yes, there are some people who don't get the mercy. Those who actually, it's the same thing that we said today. Those who are of high birth but criticize the Vaishnavas, those are the people And that there were many in Navadvipa in those days. Everybody was Brahmins. It was a seat of learning, and they were criticizing the Vaishnavas, and they complained to the Qazi, these Brahmins. So those are the people he's talking about, the ones who went and complained about Lord Chaitanya to the Muslims that he is destroying our religion. This Lord Chaitanya is destroying. He's opening it to everyone, to the low class people. And so these people, those who criticize the Vaishnavas, they don't get the mercy, even if they're born in a high family. And that time there were many who were in that category. So that's what he was talking about. And so Lord Advaita was saying, please give it to everyone else. Give the mercy to those who are chandalas and women and all these things. Give it to them. Give the mercy to them.
You get many
as a preacher. Questions. Okay, yeah.
And Shivananda
Sankirtan. Yeah, that was the process in the early days.
She didn't care.
I know.
She just went.
Yeah.
What do I say as a preacher?
What do you say as a preacher? Okay, here's a scenario. The lady went on Sankirtan. She gave everything. She gave her daughter to the Gurukul, and the child was abused. So what do you say to people who ask these questions? Okay, I throw it open to the class. What do you say to these people who say, okay, this lady gave up everything. And so the child, look what happened to her child. She left her child. Child went to Gurukul. Yeah.
There are two things. One is one must not neglect discretion.
One may give up everything to Krishna, but he should not neglect his discretion.
This was never advertised.
So Prabhupada did give that instruction. A mother's first service is to protect the child, and this was, I know, with Arundhati and Pradyumna and their child Aniruddha. Prabhupada said, you should just teach your child at home. You don't send them to the school. Just teach. And he was traveling. They were traveling with the child, with Prabhupada. At the same time. Yeah, so Parvati is saying, don't neglect your discretion. Yes? Don't neglect your intelligence. Like, you should always be intelligent about what you're doing. And don't follow blindly. Don't follow blindly. Yeah.
She's really helpless.
Yeah. You would not agree with the behavior of that mother, that she just left her child and went to the Gurukul.
In other words, it doesn't really seem to follow this Bhagavad Dharma explained by.
Yes, so she was not actually intelligently applying the instructions. Was it Sridharaswami or Yamunacharya?
Yeah, Sridharaswami.
I think it was Yamunacharya. One of those Acharyas.
His wife,
yeah, I thought it was Yamuna.
She was giving birth or something like this, and there was a little baby there. He was a Grihastha, and he saw the baby, and
he saw a lizard.
Yeah. He saw
a baby lizard eat its own food. A baby lizard just born eat its own food,
yeah.
And so he left the baby.
He left the baby right there.
Yeah.
This doesn't seem to be the standard.
It's not standard behavior. It takes sannyas. Yeah, and also considering this is the mother, it's not the, you know, it's like the women don't take sannyas. The mother should not take sannyas from the children. If she's the mother.
In these cases like this, for them it would be more heavy. Than
yeah, so we would agree that it was a mistake on that mother's part. That she should have actually used her intelligence, not followed blindly, and you should have actually taken care.
It's very difficult to say when people are neophyte, you
right.
know, when you just join their understanding of
yeah.
consciousness.
I mean, now such things would not be done.
Well, we still have yeah. quite a few things going on now.
Yeah. I'm sure you know everything. Yeah, I know when I was faced, at least I stayed here where my son was and watched and was with him. You couldn't send them away like that. But yeah. Yeah, so there is there's what the devotees say. So what you can say is, yes, that was a mistake on her part, but more mistake was from the authorities.
Thank you.
And now you won't see this happening But in the past, many mistakes were done by different people in the society.
On a regular basis.
Different mistakes happened, and now it's being rectified. It's being addressed. In other words, these mistakes are being addressed. And now we there has been experience and that was
days, yeah. Many of the leaders were so young they actually had no idea.
Yeah, they were in their 20s. When Prabhupada left, we were, well, maybe low 30s or late 20s when he left. What was it, 79? I was 31. So most of the devotees are around my age. So we're in around 30. Most of the devotees. He left in 77. It was before 30, yeah. It was 29. So most of us were just before late 20s when Prabhupada left. And then we had to take up a movement. Yeah, in the hands of 20-year-olds. Yes? Oh yeah, we discussed that in a class somewhere in 6th canto, 5th canto. Prabhupada was asked the question, what is the difference between accidental fall down and intentional fall down? How can you tell? Does anybody remember the answer that Prabhupada gave? You remember?
Returns.
Yes. If the person who fell down comes back to devotional service, then it was accidental. And feels remorse. He feels remorse and comes back. Feels remorse and comes back. Yeah, we should not judge.
But like in case of child abuse or...
Yeah. Well, we don't judge. There are many people who are going to judge that person.
Even within our society,
yeah. Yeah, well, there's a way, you know, if something is wrong, now we have this ISKCON resolve. So it's confidential way to address problems such as child abuse, and if you have a complaint about your authority or something, I think is in it, and you go to ISKCON resolve, something like that, and these people investigate and look into it without putting everything on internet. Because now, you know, everything is, if you put every, and it may not be true, you know, if you put everything and then suppose the person is innocent and somebody just wants to make trouble for somebody, so they have to investigate. And so there's a way to, I mean, you judge, okay, you judge, but then if you want to do something about it, then there's a way. There's a way to do it. Now it's been given. Okay, any other questions or comments? Adi Prush. Okay, we're back to...
insufficient training.
Result of insufficient training,
so
yes.
The answer is education and training.
Yes, yeah. Education and training required so that people use their intelligence.
Both for the devotees and the leaders.
Yeah. Leaders also have to... There are programs for leaders' education now. Leadership training, different things. Yes?
I can give a real simple... Educate the future generation.
Yeah, there is education, the Grihastha training. It addresses that issue where they have scenarios where the husband is saying, oh, sorry, I was supposed to be with the family this weekend, but I have to go and do this and that, weekend after weekend. And so, you know, it educates and it says, no, you have to balance your life in such a way that you can also take care. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he did it. He had 10 children. And I read he gave quality time to each one every day. Somehow, quality time is a big thing.